see this number out this morning. Good to have some visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can make your confession of Jesus being the Son of God and being immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 27th chapter, I want to read with you one verse and then we'll turn to Revelation 19. In Matthew 27, I want to read with you verse 29. In Matthew 27, in verse 29, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then kindly look in the Revelation letter and the 19th division, and notice with me what John had to say. In Revelation 19 and verse 12, notice the divine word said, "His eyes were like a flaming fire, and on his heads were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself." When you make a study of the Holy Book, you'll notice that many crowns are identified with Jesus. The one in Matthew was one of ridicule that our Lord wore as he suffered upon Calvary's cross. His word, the crown of shame in this suffering, when you think about all that he endured, the divine revelation said upon Calvary's cross, it was a crown of shame that they placed upon him. However, in the last book of the Scriptures, we read where there were many crowns placed upon his head. And what I'd like to do for a few moments of our time is to look at some of the crowns that Jesus wears. And then ask ourselves, do we see the crown upon the head of Jesus? Do we recognize his authority? Do we recognize him as king? Do we recognize that he has the right to tell us how to live because he is King of kings and Lord of lords? If you have your Bible, I want you to first recognize that Jesus wears the crown of redemption. There has been a barrier between man and God. And that barrier is sin. In Isaiah 59, in verse 2, you'll remember that the Bible says that your sins and iniquities have separated you from God. So sin and iniquity, being the same thing, is what separates man from God. And thus, therefore, there is a barrier between man and God. Man is the one that is guilty of this sin, and it's due to transgression of the law. John said that transgression is lawlessness. Thus, it is when one does not keep the law of God. So Christ comes to redeem man. Christ died upon the cross to purchase man back, to buy man back. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, it says that Christ died for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 11, 26, it talks about that we proclaim his death till he comes again. The death that he died to take away the sin of man. And I am made to wonder today at the number of people that fail to see the crown of redemption upon the head of our Lord and Savior. Man is not able to save himself. Man cannot perform enough good deeds to outweigh one sin. And the only salvation can come through Jesus Christ. So I see upon the head of my Savior the crown of redemption. I crown him with many crowns, and one crown being the crown of redemption. But the second crown that I crown him with is the crown of truth. It seems that when Jesus started his ministry, the thing that stood out was the fact he spoke the truth. In fact, the business in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 28 and 29, the people were astonished at his authority with which he spoke. They said he speaks with the authority that not even the scribes have. So when they looked at Jesus, they recognized his divine authority. They recognized that he spoke with truth. But have you ever stopped to think about the truth with which Jesus spoke? Listen to the answers that Jesus gave. When you look at the question, who created man? Jesus spoke truth and with authority. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, He plainly says, in the beginning, God created man. God created man and God created woman. And there was no question about it in the mind of Jesus because He was there in creation, as John 1, 1 through 3 said. So Jesus spoke truth. Jesus said, God created man. Then someone might ask the question, what is the most important in life, thing in life, material things or spiritual things? And Jesus spoke truth in answering that question. In Matthew 16 and about verse 24, you remember that at this time Jesus is talking to the people down through verse 26. And the question is asked, what will a man gain if he gain the whole world? What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then he asked a second question. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is showing that the material things of this life are short-lived. It's the spiritual things that are eternal. So when Jesus spoke truth. He wore the crown of truth upon His head. Someone might ask the question to the Lord, what does it mean to be really great? And Jesus answers to them in the book of Matthew in the 20th chapter and about verse 26, that if one wants to be great, one must be a servant. One doesn't try to rule and dictate, but one is a servant to others. So every time Jesus spoke the truth of God. You remember a question Job asked in the Old Testament? Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? Look at Jesus' reply in John 11, verse 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many would say that Jesus ever gave a wrong answer? Most people say, oh no, preacher, Jesus always answered correctly. Jesus always gave the truth. Well, let's look at one more question. When the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? Jesus made a very simple reply. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Why is it that so many people want to contend and make an issue with Jesus on baptism when they turn right around and say Jesus always spoke the truth? If He spoke the truth on all these other things, He spoke the truth on baptism. And when an individual refuses to be baptized, I'll tell you, my friend, they're proclaiming that Jesus is not wearing the crown of truth. And I beg to differ with anybody who says Jesus does not wear the crown of truth. But that brings up the third crown Jesus wears. Not only do I crown Him with the crown of redemption, not only does He have the crown of truth, but He should have the crown of rule. And now I'm talking about the rule of your life. We need to see the Lord as the ruler of our lives. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he wanted the people to understand that they are not their own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 19, he said, "But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills." And then I want you to think about, I'm in the wrong thing, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Then what are we, Lord? He said, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now watch it. Which are God's. Have you ever stopped to think that we belong to God? God has delivered us from the kingdom of Satan and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, as Paul wrote in Colossians 1:13. And if you've been saved, you should be under the rule of Christ. Look in the Roman letter and the 6th chapter. In Romans chapter 6, look at what Paul said in verse 17. In Romans 6 and verse 17, Paul said, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That means we're under His rule. We follow the Word of God, the will of God, the law of God. We're under the rule of Christ our King. So crown Him with many crowns. Crown Him with the crown of truth. Crown Him with the crown of redemption. And crown Him with the crown as ruler of your life. But I'll tell you, there's a fourth crown He needs to be crowned with. And that is the crown of remembrance. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look, if you will, at what the Divine Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice, if you will, that He says in verse 23, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Underscore remembrance. Then look in verse 25. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Underscore remembrance. I want you to look and recognize that the Lord's Supper is to be kept in memory of Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, and the fact He'll come again. Of all the great personalities who've ever walked this earth, surely Jesus Christ chose one of the strangest ways to be remembered, some people may think. He gave no instruction about a statue, but you see what they do to statues, they tear them down. But I'll tell you what He did say, you come together to eat the supper, and here is where our faith reaches out. Every time we come together and partake of the Lord's Supper, we think about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And then He says in verse 26, we proclaim His death till He comes. We recognize He will come again. I think about this importance of our life. We need to crown Him with the crown of remembrance. But there's one more crown and the lesson's yours. And that is the crown of His return. And that is an important crown to be given to our Lord, that He will return. Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and if you would, you could begin reading at verse 13, where the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, does not want them to be ignorant concerning those who've fallen asleep. He said, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope, those outside of Christ. But then look at what he said. If we believe, underscore that. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Who? The dead in Christ. And then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Think of the powerful words there. You think about all the people that today who've tried to guess the date that Jesus is going to come back. It's just about driven people away from believing that there will be an end time on earth. But the Bible says there will come a time, Jesus comes again, and this earth will be destroyed. And we are assured time and time again, the Lord will return. In 2 Peter 3, He said He'll come as a thief in the night. And the earth and all of its elements will be melted with fervent heat. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says there will be a judgment day. And we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is also taught in Matthew 25, where He said He will separate the ones on the left who are not righteous from those who are on the right who are righteous. And I tell you, we need to crown the fact that He will return. Crown Him with many crowns. Crown Him with the crown of redemption and the crown of truth. Crown Him with the crown that He is ruler of your life, and crown Him with remembrance, but crown Him also to the fact He will return, and to that we give Him glory. I ask one question as we close the sermon. What crown do you see upon Jesus? Because I'll tell you something. One day we want a crown. And you know the Bible talks about those that are faithful will receive the crown of life. Those who endure, those who persevere, those who go through the trials and live their life dedicated to God, they don't turn to the left or the right, but they continue on faithfully following in the footsteps of Jesus, that one day they'll receive the crown of life. I may not get any other crowns here, but I'll tell you, my beloved friend, the crown I want more than anything is the crown of life, where I'll be with my Lord forever. And Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. When Paul was finishing up his statements, you'll remember what he said to Timothy as he closes his epistle. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, "There is laid up for me," in verse 8, "the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved His appearing." Those who have crowned the fact He'll return are looking forward to that day, because that's the day you receive your crown. That's the day you receive your reward. That's the day you go to heaven. If you're here this morning and you need to make